So lesson one. Lesson one is called Reverse the Conversation. Now, in the lecture He is Dreaming Now, Neville Goddard was contacted by a fella by phone who needed, who wanted $250,000. And Neville said, basically, he goes, "All right, I will hear it for you. I will now reverse the entire conversation from you wanting $250,000 to a conversation that tells me that you have $250,000. I will persuade myself that of this so-called invisible and therefore unreal state. And when I am persuaded of the reality of the world, that the reality of what the world would say is unreal, it's done. I know it will not fail. I will do it now." So Neville hung up the phone, and he did not leave the phone until he was self-persuaded that the man had called him to tell him the good news that he has $250,000 to launch his new venture. Now, there's a couple really cool lessons in this lecture that we're going to explore. Lessons 1 through 4 from He is Dreaming Now. And in this one right here, lesson number 1, Reverse the Conversation, notice what Neville does. He listens to the man's conversation, explains to him what he's going to do and why it's going to work, and he does it. He does it without leaving the phone. Now, what's really beautiful about this is Neville didn't wait. He didn't go, "Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm going to go out and play with Vicky for a little bit, and you know, then I'm going to, you know, have my martini." You know, he went and he did it immediately. He did not have that conversation exist inside of his mind for one additional moment longer than it needed to. He stopped. He did it now. And what's, again, really think about this. He did it next to the phone where he had the conversation. He did it with the phone that he had the conversation with the man on. In other words, what I want you to explore is this. As you explore these teachings on prosperity, I want you to notice Neville's attitude for prosperity, because he didn't have an attitude towards prosperity. He had an attitude for prosperity. He didn't see any problem with people wanting to prosper and people prospering. I want you to notice that he takes action. In lesson number 1 here, Reverse the Conversation, he takes immediate action. Okay, he reverses the conversation. And again, that's a fascinating phrase right there, because he takes it from wanting to having. It's not even changing it. He reverses it. That's what he calls it. Okay, so it's like the power reverses when we go from wanting something so bad to knowing that we now have it. So that's where I want you to begin. That's lesson number 1. Lesson number 2, The Real Cause, How to Pray for Money, is again from the lecture He is Dreaming Now. Now Neville says, "I know the cause, I know the beginning, the conversation that took place, and the kind of prayer that took place, where they didn't beg anyone in the world for anything. You don't turn to any God on the outside and appeal to Him to help you. You turn on the inside and you appropriate what you want. It is a subjective appropriation of the objective hope." Again, that's Neville Goddard in He is Dreaming Now. So the lessons and the takeaway from lesson 2, what you do when you pray is you appropriate what you want. You assume that is the case. You feel it, you see it, you know that it is. And what I want you to do, again, it's vital that we take each of these lessons and we get the facts about the lessons. The facts are, this is the lesson, and you just read it. The intellectual understanding is getting the extra details about it. I'll share the extra details that I know to help you to get the intellectual understanding that I have and to help you develop your own intellectual understanding. But the power of the lesson, again, you know, the facts are the stones. The intellectual understanding is the water. But we want to change water into wine. And again, that's the spiritual application of these teachings. So I have to ask you, what is it that you've been wanting that you can simply appropriate now? What is the ideal you that you've been wanting to be for so long? Just notice this. And as you do your next session, and you can do that immediately, how can you appropriate that state right now? So after this recording, sit down and do it. Let's continue on with lesson number three. Lesson number three is Victor the Dreamer. Neville says, "My brother Victor, who does exactly what I'm talking about, it's all in his imagination. Victor started behind the eight ball, so this year he did a $40 million business, and so I got my dividend check. It was a 20% dividend. How many companies are paying 20%? He paid me 20% on my stock, and all the other ones. They're going down and down and down, but I got a big check, 20%. That's unheard of, but we are a private company. Therefore, we can pay what we want. It's not public. Every share of stock is owned by the family. So my dividend check was 20% of the value of my stock." Now, this is where it gets really, really good. He continues with, "Because he didn't read the papers, and he doesn't have a TV set, and he's not influenced by rumors. He can dream as much as anyone can dream." Again, that's from He is Dreaming Now by Neville Goddard. The lesson and takeaway, Victor Goddard was a dreamer as well. And notice that he didn't contaminate his dreams by rumors or a television set or the newspapers. He kept his dreams pure. But I want you to listen to this. Neville calls his brother a dreamer. If someone calls you a dreamer, what would you think? How would you feel? How would you feel if Neville called you a dreamer, on the other hand? You see, there's amazing power when it comes to dreaming. We're dreaming all day anyway. Oftentimes, we dream in forms of worry and doubt and fear, and we wonder what people will say or do. Especially, well, what if the boss called me a dreamer? Well, if your boss was Neville, that'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? And really, who is your boss? You truly are. You are the power of imagination. You are consciousness. And so what I want you to do, again, try this on. Imagine, use your imagination right now and have Neville call you a dreamer. Have Neville give you a compliment of being an amazing dreamer. Adopt that as an identity and as a power and as a state to live from. Lesson number four, listen to no arguments. Neville says, "When that man died, he left my brother in cash $150,000, three homes, many personal possessions. He said, 'You are my best friend. You advised me how to invest and what to do. And so I leave you now $150,000 in cash, tax exempt. No taxes to pay on it.' And from that little beginning with borrowed capital, it grew and grew and grew and expanded from one island to another island. And it's all over the islands now. And not one person outside the immediate family owns one share in the business. It is still growing in spite of the depression." He says, Victor doesn't listen to any arguments about depressions and recessions and whatnot. He is simply growing. Again, a really great lesson from He is Dreaming Now. So let me ask you a question. This is from the lesson and the takeaway. How's that global financial crisis treating you? How's the recession going? You know, personally, I'm still shocked that when I hear people talking about it. But because I don't watch the news. Yeah, I don't want that in my head. You know, I did listen for a while, but I grew tired of it because, you know, people kept talking, saying the same thing, and just to hear it, I had to entertain it in my mind. And I'd rather entertain now much more productive thoughts. So Jacob wrestled with his angel. Jacob wrestled with his imagination until he won. And it's a lot easier for you to win, to gain control of your imagination, if you stop feeding the bad angels, the bad thoughts, yeah, the limiting fantasies inside. So stop listening to any arguments about limitation. Stop listening to people talk about depressions and recessions. And something that you're going to find out is that they have almost no impact on you. And lesson number five, this is from God's Almighty Power. This would be ideal. So, Neville says, many, many years ago, my father and brother Victor went to see a spot overlooking the water on 35 acres, which is quite large on the island of Barbados. Three sisters lived in a home there and sold their cattle to my father. At the time, he mentioned he would be interested in purchasing their property if they should ever desire to sell. Then, turning to Victor, he said this would be an ideal spot for a hotel. A few years later, the ladies decided to sell. One man with a great deal of money wanted those 35 acres very much, but he was in Brazil the day my father, who had imagined owning it, bought it. Now a beautiful hotel is on that spot. It is very popular and always crowded, winter and summer, all because my father had a dream and dared to trust the Lord, his God, he knew to be within himself. So the lesson and the takeaway from God's almighty power. Bring ease into your life, and bring ease into your sessions by setting them up with ease. Notice this phrase, this would be ideal. That's a great way to do that. I mean, can you feel the power? Can you feel the ease in that story? I don't think for one second that Victor or Papa Goddard struggled with that vision. I can't imagine them sitting there forcing it and wanting it. They knew this would be ideal. And they knew the power of God, and they knew where to turn to access that power. So where in your life would you like to invite ease? Remember, it's not just what you hold in mind, but how you hold it in mind that matters. Use this amazing power of ease, and use it to bring your ideal much more easily into the world. Lesson number 6. Your desire must be genuine. Nothing has ever happened to you that you did not set into motion in your imagination. I tell you, you can be anything you want to be. But when you voice your request, your desire must be genuine. You must want it. You must so want it, that you are willing to remain faithful to your change in position. You cannot assume you have your desire for one little moment and then return to your former state. For if you do, you are a double-minded man and will not receive anything from the Lord. If you want to be successful in business, you can. I don't care how many creditors you owe or what the bank says you have. If you assume success and persist in that assumption, you cannot fail. This is the law by which everyone lives. And that is from The Creator by Neville Goddard. So a couple lessons and takeaways from this one. Once you experience the change of position inside your imagination, you need to sleep and walk from that position. Okay, so you first feel the change in position. You feel the wealth. You feel what you have wanted now in your possession. You feel as if you are that ideal person right now. And then rest as well as walk from that position. So sleeping in the position, resting in that position, is feeling the relief. Ah, it's true. Feeling relief. Relief is one of the universal states that goes along with assuming the state of the wish fulfilled. Now, walking in that position, Neville says that you cannot return to your former state. In other words, you have to walk in that position as well. You're going to hear more about that in future lessons. Walking in the position is how you react to the world. Notice in your conversations, in your actions, in your daydreams, notice in all your activities if you are internally remaining true to your ideal. If your ideal is one of being loved, feel that you're loved. Know that you are loved. Feel that wherever you are, feel that while doing whatever it is you're doing. If your ideal is being financially secure, notice what it is like to shop, feeling financially secure. By the way, I never say to anyone, I can't afford that. What I tell people is I choose not to buy that today. And that's true. Think about this. Every time you say, I can't afford that, you're reinforcing poverty. And any time that you decide, I choose not to buy that today. Because literally, you could buy just about anything. You could take out a loan. You could sell your house. You could raise the money to buy just about anything today. But anytime you say, I can't afford that, you're reinforcing poverty. And anytime you choose not to buy something today and you state that, You're stating, you know, where you want to focus your assets, your imagination, your potential, and your possibility. So again, come from your ideal. Develop new habitual ways of thinking, being, and behaving in the world. And remember that this is the only way to be genuine in your desire. Number 7, assuming wealth. If tonight you inherit a fortune, don't think that the one from whom it seemed to come was the cause. No, preceding that event, you assumed wealth. He was only the instrument, the actor playing his part in giving you the money. It could have come from a total stranger. You don't need a wealthy uncle, aunt, or grandfather. That's from the creator, again, Neville Goddard. So assuming wealth opens the door for wealth. So assume wealth. Again, notice what Neville says here. Preceding the event, you assumed wealth. So assume wealth. Assume financial security. Assume that you are given and that you earn massive amounts of income, of money. So that's how you open the door. You assume the state of wealth. And as you live out the rest of your days here on earth, remember that dead relatives, strangers, clients, friends, family members, they may be the channel for the money and wealth to get to you. But the source is in your assumption of it. So where else can you apply this in your life today? Notice and remember the difference between channel, which could be a dead relative or a live client, and source, which is your own wonderful human imagination. Lesson number 8. Victor dreaming wealth. In my own family, my brother Victor befriended a man who at the end of his life left a very large sum of money to him. Victor had a consuming desire to have money, and he never had a divided mind. He wanted wealth more than anything and believed that money was power. He was tired of poverty and, dreaming wealth, his world was populated with people bringing opportunities to make more and more money. Now, if Victor forgets the cause, he will turn from the immortal God to an image resembling a man and claim that he was the cause of his fortune, when it was not so at all. That's from The Creator by Neville Goddard. Now, what I want you to do is notice at the end of this version of the story, Neville reminds us not to forget the cause. The cause is never anything outside of the real you. The real you is consciousness. The real you is the wonderful human imagination. Remember, we were given the law, what we hold in mind tends to manifest, to help us not only to manifest and create change, but to remind us of what we really are. The wonderful human imagination. The cause. That we truly are sons of God. Lesson number 9, the power of implication. Now, the power of any imaginal act is in its implication. If he is congratulating you on your good fortune, then you must have already received it. So accept his congratulation as a fact. That is from The Creator by Neville Goddard. So what I want you to do is imagine a scene that would imply that it is done. You don't want to imagine the wish itself. I imagined being congratulated after winning my trophies. So winning the trophy was a done deal. So had been the competition. I imagined a scene where I was being congratulated about my book selling in great numbers around the world, helping thousands and thousands of people. And again, that's implied that the books have been written and the books are selling well, and that I've also participated in what I have to do there, which is, you know, part of the writing, right? So imagining your friends and your family congratulating you is a great way to imply a couple different things. Number one, that your wish has been fulfilled. But even more importantly, it also sets to rest in your mind any unexplored fears around your friends and family not liking you once you become successful. You know, a lot of people have that lurking around inside of there. So there's something very brilliant about this method. Whenever you notice, yeah, you know, my friends and family are congratulating me for living up to my potential, for growing, for making the changes that I have in my life. So when you use this method, you're going to find that it, again, gets those unspoken fears out of the way. So not only does it activate excellence, but it also helps eliminate those unconscious fears, which is really, really important. So lesson number 10, what to do when things slow down. A friend recently told me that he started his little restaurant in Oahu with only $180 in the bank and many debtors. This was just a few years ago. Tonight he estimated the value of his business at over $100,000. He started his business in a very small manner, maintaining his conviction that it was a success, and things happened to make it so, but they were not the cause. His success was caused by his imagination. When things were beginning to go slow, he would remember the law. He remembered that the negative things that were happening were caused by his thoughts, so he changed them, and now has this wonderful opportunity for expansion. Again, notice what Neville says here. When things would start to go slow, he would remember the law. You know, years ago, I would get worked up when I got hate mail. Believe it or not, writing articles and putting up stuff on the internet, people will just write you out of the blue to let you know how much they hate your work. Not all that often, but it happens. I just got one the other day. And one of the things that I noticed was if I dwelled on that, my business would actually slow down. You know, even if I kept working at it, my business would slow down. It was like the universe responded to my upsetness. So today, whenever I experience an upset, what I do is I stop, I rest, I intercession, and I make changes inside my imagination. And when I do that, I notice that's when the fun begins again. So what I want you to do is notice this. When you're tempted to, again, notice this. When you're tempted to blame something, oh, I'm upset because of this, or oh, that's going to cause this to happen or that to happen, stop. The cause is in your own wonderful human imagination. Do what it takes to revise the situation. Do what it takes to re-enter back into the state. And once you do that, not only will you feel better, remember, you know, part of your Feel It Real sessions is that, you know, part of the beauty of them is that they help you to feel wonderful now. And when you enter into them, literally the whole universe responds to you. So that's it. Have some fun. And we're going to finish this recording, and we're going to go on to lessons 10 through 20 in the next one. So thank you. Have a wonderful time. And take notes. You know, go back through. Whenever you listen to these, feel free to stop, take some notes, write down what was good for you and how you're going to apply it. Remember, you know, you're getting a lot of good stuff here. You know, the intellectual understanding, the level of water is good, but actually doing this, applying every little thing that you learn, that's the spiritual principle, and that changes lives. That changes water into wine. Thank you.